Now read today's Bible passage. Today's passage is John, chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, the source of all life, we know that you have defeated death, and we are here to praise Jesus' name and worship him. Today is Easter, and Lord, we know that around this country, we pray that your name will be greatly praised. We know that you love us, and that you have taken all of our sin upon yourself, died on the cross, and resurrected. And we thank you, Lord, so much for what you have done. We pray, Lord, that our church will be able to proclaim you as the resurrected Lord and proclaim your victory as well. Please bless us, Lord. We pray that through Joey Anjiki, as he speaks today, will allow us to truly understand your resurrection power. And we pray that this will be a service that brings you glory. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Easter service. It's wonderful to be able to celebrate that with you today. If you think about Easter, in Japan, actually, many people are more familiar with that word, and it's possibly because of the impact that Disney has had on the world. However, exactly what Easter is and what it celebrates is maybe not so well known in Japan, as I believe. Easter is the day that we remember how Jesus Christ died on the cross and was resurrected 3 days later, giving us eternal life. And that's what we celebrate. You may think of eggs as well for Easter, and that is a symbol of new life. You also may think of rabbits too, and how rabbits often have a lot of children, and how that way God is hoping that there'll be a lot of children in heaven. Around Japan, I believe there'll be a lot of Easter events happening today. Unfortunately, it's also true that many of the people in Japan will not understand the message of Easter even after today. Easter and what it means is something that is directly related to all of us, and I'd like you to remember that today. Let's look once again at the passage that was read just a moment ago. How about you? Are you good with high places? Going up to high altitudes? Maybe not. However, long ago, there was a famous person who actually was well known for doing acrobatics at the high height. You may remember Charles Blondin. And in 1859 in New York, he made this proclamation for the New York Times and he said that he would cross the Niagara Falls on a tightrope, and it's a 50-meter height, and he was going to use this thin rope of 335 meters in length. And he said that he was going to do this in the New York Times. On the day of the event, there was about 5,000 people in the crowd there to watch. And first, Blondin said to the crowd, he said, I intend to go across the tightrope and come back, and who thinks that I can do it? And so the people who were there were all clapping and cheering him on. Oh, you can do it, you can do it, they believed. So Blondin went across the tightrope, and he came back. Then he said, Well, okay, now I'm going to push this wheelbarrow thing across the tightrope and come back. Who thinks I can do that? And many people were still clapping and cheering him on. So he did exactly that and was successful. Then he said to everybody, okay, now I am going to have somebody on my back and I'm going to go across the tightrope and come back. Who thinks that I can do this? Anybody? And many people clapped and thought he could do it too. So then he said, okay, well, who amongst all of you who are just cheering and clapping for me would be willing to get on my back to do this? And it was quiet. Nobody wanted to put their hand up for that. However, there was one person who strongly and confidently raised his hand saying, I'll get on your back. And so he got on the back of Charles Blondin and they went across the tightrope and came back. And this young guy, who was it who volunteered to do this? He was actually one of Blondin's closest friends. And he knew that he could trust Blondin. He knew him very well. And he knew that he would do exactly what he said and that he would totally be successful. And because of this, he was able to erase the fear in his heart to go on Blondin's back. So fear and belief have a deep relationship with each other. If there's something that we truly believe in our heart, then it can allow us to release other fears we may have. In our lives as well, there's all kinds of troubles and trials and difficult things we face. And the one that is the most difficult or hardest to face is that of death. For many people, to get rid of the fear of death, they try to do things like not thinking about it or just putting it off or things like that. However, death is something that will always come to anybody at some point in their life. And I myself will die too. And you too will die at some point. So how is it that we can face up to this fear of death? What is it that we can put our faith in? According to the Bible, it has a clear answer to this question. And that is the cross of Jesus Christ and proclaiming salvation is available to us through it. Today, I am speaking on the sermon title of Have I Not Risen? And we have 3 points that I would like to bring up regarding this. The first point today is, what do we find the solution to death in? It's likely you've possibly thought about what's going to happen to you when you die before. If you take a survey of Japanese people, there's a lot of people who just think, well, nothing's going to happen when I die. I'll just turn into nothing. Some people think, oh, I'll be reborn into something else. And some people think that they'll become a star. And there's some romantists who like believe that those things as well. However, will that... Will any of those things actually be, are they based on any type of fact? And in pretty much all circumstances, it's just people's ideals and not based on any facts. However, there is an answer that can provide release from the fear of death that is very clear, and it is available to everyone. What is it? The Bible is actually a really interesting book. It's the newest thing and also the oldest thing that was written over 2,000 years ago. The Bible is applicable and is still the bestseller around the world of books. It's very interesting if you think about it from that aspect. And why is it so? Well, one of the reasons is that the Bible gives hope for people that they can have hope after they die, gives them hope for heaven, and continues to do so. And that's one of the reasons why it continues to be the bestseller. And what exactly does the Bible teach about life after death or what happens after death? The Bible talks about Adam and Eve, the ancestors of all humans, and how through sinning that brought death into the world. The characteristic of sin has automatically passed on to all people, and because of that, Every single person's relationship with God is broken, and they can't automatically go to heaven when they die. That's what the Bible teaches. If you are told that all people are sinners and that you too are a sinner, do you accept that as a truth? Many people think about the word sin and think of it as like a severe crime, and they're like, well, no, I've never done something like that. However, the standard for sin that the Bible teaches is a lot wider than that. For example, the Bible says that lying is a sin. A few years ago, there was a book that was quite popular. It was titled, like, Everyone Lies at Least 200 Times a Day. And you would think, really? 200 times a day? But in this book, it explains that the type of sin is not just something that harms other people, but also other things of a much wider range. For example, if you look at the mirror, you look in the mirror in the morning and you say, oh, I'm very beautiful. That might not be the truth. And so in that, they can't, even that is sinning. Even if you don't sin 200 times a day, though, if you look back over your life, you can realize, yes, you have lied. Yes, you have hurt others, and you've done other things that haven't been great as well. The standard of the Bible is something that isn't just something that is an outward expression of sin, but also what's in your heart. And what, so if you have this desire to hurt someone or you desire to hate someone, that too is sin. There's a person, by a thinker by the name of Montaigne in France, who said that there's no perfect person in the world. And if people's sin was made public, that every person would be faced with a death penalty at least 10 times. If you think about the standard of sin that's mentioned in the Bible and you think about your own life, you would realize very quickly you too are a sinner. The Bible states that because we are sinners, then our relationship with God is broken, and after death, we are headed for destruction. In 1952, from April 14th to the 15th, it was the famous episode of the sinking of the Titanic ship. It was a ship that was said that would never go down. However, when it hit an iceberg, in just a period of hours, it did sink. On the ship at that time, there are records of what happened, and there was actually kind of a time lag of people realizing what was really going on. Due to the import of the water, due to the crack in the boat, people down below realized really quickly what was going on, but other people on the top of the ship had no clue, and they were just still having their party. This ship kind of shows us, in the same way, our fate. We too will face death, but the circumstances are completely different. There may be people who be facing death very soon, and there may be other people who have still many years to go. However, a common point for everything and everyone is that because of sin, just as the Titanic, we all are facing destruction after death. However, God, who loves all of us, has not desired for us to have such a fate. And he has prepared a lifeboat, in a sense, for us to avoid this. And that is Jesus Christ and the salvation that's available to us through that. Jesus Christ has resolved this problem of sin. And how did he do it? Let's look at the second point. The second point is the hope behind death. Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and over 2,000 years ago, he came to earth. Why is it that he came to earth as a person? The biggest reason was that he came to resolve the problem of sin for humanity. At the end of Jesus Christ's life on the cross, he took all sin upon himself and took all of the pain and suffering that we were to endure. After the third day, he was risen. That's what the Bible teaches. So how is it that we can receive this salvation that's available to us? What is it that we need to do? What does the Bible teach about this? Well, it teaches that we don't have to do anything. We just have to have gratitude and accept this as truth in faith. That's the main point of the Bible. And what exactly is faith? What exactly is it that we need to believe in for this salvation? Paul actually clearly writes about this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 4. I'll read. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. In other words, it states that anyone who believes in Jesus' death and resurrection and how that is a resolution to their sin problem can have all of their sin forgiven and receive eternal life. Salvation is a gift from God. And that is the method to be saved is through faith. Around the world, there are many people who put up crosses at their churches or have it as an accessory on their clothing or so on. Why is it people do so? It's because they remember, they want to remember just how much God loves them and want to remember the place where God expressed His deepest love. Through Jesus Christ's resurrection, we have hope for this. Let's look at the final point. It's the joy of reuniting. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and on the third day, He rose. And through His resurrection, what is it that He was trying to tell us? Well, He was trying to tell us that because of all the sin that came into the world through Adam and Eve, He would be able to have victory over this death that we would face. So we wouldn't have to face destruction after death, but rather have hope for everlasting life in heaven. This is something which we can have hope for to see other believers again in heaven. The people that we love, they too will die at some point. What time they will face death is unknown to many people. It happens sometimes to young people as well as old. And if death was the end of things, then that would kind of just really make a dark aspect because relationships just wouldn't even really matter. However, that's not the case for those of us who believe in Jesus Christ. We know that beyond the darkness of death, we have hope for heaven and the light that it shines. In heaven, we have the opportunity to reunite with friends and to spend eternity with friends and family as well. I would like to share a testimony before I close today. It's the testimony of an American theologian by the name of Gary Habermas. And in 1995, his beloved wife, Debbie, died of cancer. At that time, he reflects on what was going on. He said that he was sitting out on a bench in his garden, and his wife was about ready to die upstairs. For several weeks, she had been in the hospital, but she wanted to spend her final days at home. There was no anticipation of her recovering, and she was in quite a lot of pain, and it was very difficult to see. However, there was a time when he really poured out his heart to God, and he said, "Why, God, could you let my wife go through this and have to die?" And he really felt that God was speaking back to him at that time. And God said to him, "I died on the cross. And didn't I rise after the third day?" And so this guy replied to God, "Yes, I'm a theologian. I totally understand this, God. Like, I got it. I know that you resurrected, and I believe in that. But why Why, God, are you letting my wife go through this and having her die? And God repeatedly replied and said, Have I not risen? Have I not risen? And that's what really made me realize that, yeah, well, if Jesus has risen, then the answer to my question is in that. And that answer really helped me. And it still supports me today. He realized that, yes, his wife would die. However, because as Jesus was resurrected, she too would have the hope of resurrection and eternal life in heaven. He realized that he would have the opportunity to be reunited with his wife at that time. We just saw various slides a moment ago. And that was an opportunity to remember our friends and family members from the church who have passed away in the past years. You may think or recall that you wanted to spend more time with these people. You wish you told them you had loved them more or spent more time with them and so on. However, in many times, there are regrets we have when people pass away. And people may ask the question, why is it that this person had to die? However, at that time, we can realize that Jesus speaks to us in return and says, Have I not risen? Have I not risen? For ourselves, we have the hope of being reunited with friends and family in heaven. And even if we have regrets here left on earth, we know that there'll be a place where we can celebrate for eternity. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And I'd like you to remember that today on Easter. And remember that we do have the greatest hope for heaven and the opportunity to see our beloved friends and family members. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be able to worship you again today. Jesus, we know that 2,000 years ago you came to earth. At the end of your life, you took all of our sin upon yourself. You received the penalty for it, died, and after the third day, you were resurrected, resolving the problem of sin. And if we accept this as the truth through gratitude, we too can have eternal life given to us as a present from you. We realize that this present is available to us, and we thank you for your grace in allowing us to have it. Lord, we know that on earth we have to say goodbye to many friends and family members, but that we have the hope to see them once again in heaven and spend time with them forever. We look forward to this reuniting opportunity and want to keep that in mind as we can live in joy, therefore, the rest of our days of our life. We ask that in this coming week, Lord, that you use us for your purposes abundantly. We thank you for everything, Lord. Pray in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now in this new week and forevermore. Amen.